Wrestling Radio, LockerRoomHQ.com.
Screw you guys. And that guy is too dumb. Think about the booking on that. That explains even less. This was the absolute worst thing I have ever seen any time in my entire life, and now I'm going to go kill myself. Oh, what can you do? All right, ladies and gentlemen, whether you like it or not, this is Dirt, your host today for Wrestling Radio here in Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. Today we're here to talk about Monday Night Raw, but before we dive into the show, a few news and notes to discuss here. First of all, follow-up to something we talked about on the last show, CM Punk. CM Punk pulled tore a tendon, it looks like, from his buttocks. And so he went in for the MRI. They're going to do surgery on his hip, and he is out for the foreseeable future. They are hoping he is back in time for WrestleMania. But at this point in time, there is no word on, they just can't say. It's a big operation. He will be hobbling around for at least 6 months. 6 months is usually the window of recovery on that. So whether or not he makes it back in WrestleMania is up in the air. Big question. And so WWE is a little scared right now because he's out of action. Undertaker may or may not be back in time for WrestleMania. It's hard to say. There's no Batista this year. There's no Shawn Michaels this year. Jericho may or may not be back in time for WrestleMania. So WWE is really kind of worried right now looking at the picture going into WrestleMania because a lot of stuff that they were going to play up this fall heading into the Royal Rumble to set the road for WrestleMania, they don't have this year. Either because someone has gone down with an injury or, just because they just don't have the star power they had in the past. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as the months continue, but that's the deal with CM Punk. Now, Rey Mysterio, he has an inner ear infection. And because of the inner ear infection, he cannot fly. So he can only do shows that are close enough for him to drive to, basically. And even if he does go and do the show, he is unable to take bumps. He basically has to be very careful, just take it easy. He can go out there, cut a promo. He can run away, if someone tries to do a sneak attack or something like that. But no big bumps, no big moves because of his inner ear infection. So he is, at the moment, sidelined, and it's one of those things where, because it's an infection, there's no telling, he could be fine next week, he could be fine in 2 weeks, he may be out for a month, just, impossible, could be fine tomorrow, just, impossible to say. So he is kind of up in the air, and so everything with him has been sidelined for the moment. So a lot of crazy stuff going on in WWE and as far as trying to figure all of that stuff out. Now, another quick note from Raw. If you were watching last night, you saw an appearance by Lita. Lita appeared in a segment with Pee Wee Herman. And apparently, she has been signed to come back for the 3-hour Raw in 2 weeks. The old school Raw, they're calling it. And right now, they have her. They have other people signed, like the Iron Sheik and Jim Duggan, Roddy Piper. A lot of those people coming back. And Lita, I guess right now she's signed to be part of that nostalgia show, but there is the possibility that she may come back to actually start wrestling again. And it's kind of one of those things where she's going to do the show, from what I've been told, she's going to do the show and just see, if she likes being back in that groove again, if she enjoys doing it again, if, you know, she shakes off that ring rust and gets back into the swing of things. And so right now there is kind of the possibility that she may return. Just kind of have to see if she, you know, enjoys being back in the thick of things. But that's pretty much it for the news and notes. I don't think there's really anything else going on. But always, if you have questions, you can send me an email, dirt@popculturenetwork.com, or you can leave a voicemail at 217-953-4025, or stop by the forums, lockerroomhq.com, popculturenetwork.com. Just go to the forums, find the wrestling section. You can leave a question there. But let's get on to Monday Night Raw here. They opened up the show with Randy Orton came out. He said he doesn't think there's anybody who could take the title from him in a legitimate match, but a crooked referee could probably steal it from him. So John Cena came out at this time, and the two of them had this conversation going back and forth. Basically, John Cena saying, hey, this is my career, this is my job, that's just a title. And Randy Orton saying that that title is his life. And he expects John Cena to screw him over. John Cena says, you know, he's not going to do that. It's hard to say what he's going to do. And so then, of course, the Nexus came out. Wade Barrett just basically said, of course, you are going to call me the winner. And Cena said he would beat up Wade Barrett when all of this is over. And so Orton challenged Wade Barrett to a fight right then and there, one-on-one, just to see who the better man is before they get into this title match. And as they're getting ready to have Barrett walk down to the ring, the general manager chimes in, says that since everybody's worried about what John Cena will be doing, they should find out tonight. There will be a tag match in the main event, be Randy Orton and a partner of his choosing versus Wade Barrett and a partner of his choosing, and the special guest referee will, in fact, be John Cena. They went to a commercial, came back. Justin Gabriel and Heath Slater, your tag champions versus the Hart Dynasty. They had the Hart Dynasty kind of play back and forth. They are obviously going to be breaking them up, but they had Tyson Kidd kind of play heelish at the beginning. Then they had David Hart Smith kind of come off as heelish at the end. So they're just kind of playing around with them to see who gets a better reaction, who it makes more sense to turn, and they just kind of wanted to test them both out. So as of right now, they are still not split up, but they will be very shortly. Because, of course, they lost. Justin Gabriel hit the 450 on Tyson Kidd and got the pin. Backstage, they had R-Truth talking with John Cena. Just basically said, I want to know what you're doing. You got to play things straight. Cena said he didn't know. He didn't have an answer, and he left. They had Sheamus come out. He called out Santino, wanted a rematch with him, said it was a fluke because John Morrison came out and got involved. So, of course, Santino came out, said he wouldn't be able to wrestle him, but he did have a replacement, and this brought out Vladimir Kozlov. Kozlov and Sheamus had a horrible match, but luckily it was, you know, over quickly. I don't think it even lasted 2 minutes. So it was over pretty quick. Santino went to check on Kozlov, and that allowed Sheamus to get close to him. Sheamus still wanted to beat him up, so Santino tried to offer him candy that was in his pocket, and Sheamus didn't want that. He tried to offer him money. He had four $1 bills that he tried to offer him, and Santino said he was going to make it rain later, but he would just, you know, give it to him. And Sheamus didn't want his money, so he tried to give him his American Express card, and Sheamus still didn't want it. And while all this is happening, Santino is backing up the ramp toward the entryway. Finally, Santino pulls out his checkbook. He asks, you know, how do you write Sheamus? How do you spell that? Trying to write it down, Sheamus smacks it out of his hand, grabs Santino, puts him up to go for the Razor's Edge, Celtic Cross, whatever they're calling it now. And this, of course, brings out John Morrison. And Morrison and Sheamus get into a brawl. I don't know. I think John Morrison just kind of ran off Sheamus. And Sheamus, just kind of left, and Morrison and Santino celebrated afterwards. So it was funny. It was good stuff. I enjoyed it there. They had R-Truth talking to Randy Orton backstage. He said, you know, he had just talked to Cena and he didn't like what he saw. He doesn't know what John Cena is going to be doing. And Orton said, well, you know, Cena and I are not friends, but you and Cena are friends. So I tell you what, why don't you be my tag team partner and we'll make sure that he understands who his friends are. And R-Truth agreed to that. So that's the tag team partner for Randy Orton for the main event tonight. Let's see. They had Mark Henry talking to Pee Wee Herman backstage. They were next to each other, standing back to back, but they were talking to each other on their cell phones. Mark Henry wanted a hug. Pee Wee Herman thought he was going to be Mark Henry's new tag team partner, but instead they decided to play Diva Twister, and Pee Wee Herman, he started to cheat, just started putting the spinner where he wanted it so people would have to move where he told them to. And, you know, finally they had Pee Wee Herman just kind of looked at the camera. He started talking, did a monologue, plugged his stage show. Lita just suddenly jumped in. They made some sort of face, and then they ran off, and all the divas fell down, and Mark Henry fell on the couch, because if he fell on a diva, he would probably have killed her. They had Ezekiel Jackson face Zack Ryder. You know, Zack Ryder, obviously a heel. Ezekiel Jackson was a heel. I don't think he's supposed to be face now, but he played the face role in this match with Zack Ryder. Maybe just randomly, Ezekiel Jackson's a face now. I don't know that it matters. I don't know a single person who cares about Ezekiel Jackson, but he's big, he's tough, he's mean-looking, and WWE needs to push somebody, since, as we said earlier, they're scared about everything else going on. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there in the long run. But regardless, match didn't matter. Ezekiel Jackson won, and that was it. Pee Wee Herman came out, did a bunch of spots from Pee Wee's Playhouse, kind of redoing all the, you know, stuff you remember from that show. Miz came out, got into a fight with Pee Wee Herman, started trying to push him around, whatever, and eventually Pee Wee Herman called out his cousin, Big Pee Wee, and it was the Big Show dressed in a Pee Wee Herman outfit. General Manager chimed in, made it Miz versus Big Show for a match. And basically, they had a competitive match. Usually, you would have Big Show just kind of manhandling him to, you know, make the point that he's a big guy. But instead, they let Miz and, you know, Big Show just kind of go back and forth for a while. Finally, Big Show went to chokeslam the Miz. Alex Riley jumped up on the apron. Big Show threw the Miz into him. And the briefcase fell on the mat. Miz picked it up, clobbered Big Show with it, got a DQ. We went backstage. Wade Barrett was talking to John Cena, told him to clean up the locker room, scrub his back in the shower later, and this, of course, made John Cena very upset. Wade Barrett left. David Otunga came in, just basically said that, you know, he was the future leader of the Nexus, not Wade Barrett. And he said he had more talent than anyone else in Nexus, more talent than Cena. And just David Otunga also suggested at one point that John Cena should be washing his back in the shower. I'm not sure where this storyline's going, but I'm getting very nervous. If Orlando Jordan suddenly makes a switch to WWE, I don't know if he's going to be David Otunga's tag team partner and partner, quote-unquote, but seems to be kind of where that joke is going. I'm not sure. They had Daniel Bryan versus Ted DiBiase. You know, Ted DiBiase, I've kind of been a little hard on the last couple months. I don't think he's really, you know, stepped up in the ring like he needs to. But having a match with Daniel Bryan just shows you how great Daniel Bryan is, because they made that match interesting. I don't know if it's just the Daniel Bryan magic or if someone had a talk with Ted DiBiase, told him he needs to step up his game. But either way, they had a fun match back and forth. Finally, Daniel Bryan hit the LaBelle Lock, got the submission, and Ted DiBiase was upset and just said he was going to break up Goldust's wedding on NXT because he just couldn't focus without his belt. So, trying to plug NXT there on Raw, carry over the storyline, trying to get you to watch. I don't know if there's a single person who is going to tune in to NXT just to see the follow-up to that storyline, but they did it, so whatever. They had Lay Cool come out. They said, you know, Natalya, of course, is worthless. She's another worthless Hart, member of the Hart family. But if she could beat Michelle, they would give her another title shot at Survivor Series. So Natalya came out. And basically what happened is Layla tried to cheat, and Michelle accidentally kicked Layla in the face. And so Natalya, in the ensuing shock, grabbed Michelle McCool, got her covered, and got the pin. So now we're going to see Natalya versus Michelle McCool at the pay-per-view. And to be quite honest, WWE women's matches are pretty terrible. But as WWE women's matches go, this one was not god-awful. This one was actually tolerable, so that should tell you something there. All right, next up, this was the moment of the night. When people are going to talk about this episode of Raw in the future, they're going to be talking about this moment. None of the matches, none of the hot angles. This was the goofy skit that they did with Vince McMahon talking about Linda. They had Steam make an appearance. Let's see here. Let's just talk about a little bit what happened. It opened with a doctor. It was Freddie Prinze Jr., former WWE writer. And he's checking on a patient. You don't see who the patient is, but they talk about how no one comes to visit except for this guy's wife, and she comes every day, even though she's running for Senate, and she's spent nearly $50 million on her campaign. And as soon as he says that she spent $50 million, you just hear like the beep from the like the EKG monitor, I guess it is. It's just going beep, beep. And he says $50 million. And it goes beep, 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 beep. And suddenly you see Vince McMahon. And he wakes up from his coma. And he looks around. And, you know, Vince and this guy start talking about all this money that she spent on this campaign. And Vince lifts up the blanket. And he's got Linda for Senate stickers all over his shirt. And they talked about how Nexus is stronger than ever, and John Cena is a member of Nexus, and Undertaker has been buried alive, and Raw has been taken over by Pee Wee Herman, and Vince just basically goes, well, the next thing you'll tell me, Daniel Bryan is U.S. champion. And the guy goes, well, you know, he doesn't want to say anything to Vince. And Vince goes, well, you know what? If Linda can run for Senate, maybe I could run for President of the United States. And he gets up and he strikes this pose, and suddenly he starts like feeling like he's gonna be sick. And he talks about how he's gonna run to the bathroom. He's gonna vomit. He's gonna have diarrhea. Whatever. He's grabbing his stomach and kind of keeling over. And he walks away from the camera. And plastered on his butt is a big Blumenthal like yard sign that they attach to his waist. And because you have to give fair time. You know, because he had the Linda stickers on the front, he's got to have a Blumenthal sticker to, you know, even out, talking about political candidates, you know, on television. And so he stumbles out into the hallway, out to this other bedroom, and you see Stephanie McMahon wake up in her bed. And she looks around and she goes, wow, I just had the strangest dream. And she goes, isn't my dad still in a coma? And you hear Triple H. You don't see him. They can't show him because technically he's still injured and he's not back on TV yet. He hasn't made his return. But you just hear his voice go, yeah, and I'm pretty sure he's brain dead. And she goes, oh, what a relief. And she lays down and goes back to sleep. So this whole skit, this whole massive skit, first of all, this was funny. I don't want to come off like saying this was the most horrible thing on, because this was not the worst thing on Raw. And this was not the worst skit they've done in a long time. In fact, this was better than any of the Pee Wee Herman stuff. This was for, you know, this is WWE humor, 100%, and this was actually pretty funny. And this whole thing was put together because Vince realizes Linda is not going to win. She's gotten close. I mean, it was 53-47 to the latest polls, which, you know, puts her very close. Like, she did an admirable job for being someone without political experience. You know, I mean, seriously. But, you know, just could not do it. And this was their way of setting up the storyline about how they knew she wasn't going to win, and it wasn't about her winning. It was to do some sort of Vince with fake political aspirations as a storyline that they can run in WWE. That's what the whole thing was about. That's the only reason why they did it. But, you know, overall, this was pretty funny. There was a lot of stuff in here that if you're just the average person watching, you're just kind of like, oh, you know, it's kind of amusing. If you know a lot of the backstage stuff, it was 100 times funnier. And I was happy with actually this segment altogether. We had our main event. Our main event here was Randy Orton and R-Truth versus Wade Barrett and David Otunga. That's who Wade Barrett chose as his partner. So even though David Otunga is trying to get John Cena to wash his back in the shower or whatever, he's still bringing him out here to be his tag team partner. Basically, they tried to have John Cena just, you know, do things right down the line, didn't pick any favorites, anything like that, but they did spots where, like, R-Truth got the hot tag on Randy Orton, but John Cena's back was turned, so he didn't see it. So he pushed Randy Orton out, so Randy Orton thought he got screwed over. And then they did the same thing later, where Otunga got the hot tag on Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett came in, John Cena didn't see the tag, so he pushed Barrett out of the ring. And so as he's pushing Wade Barrett out of the ring, Randy Orton jumps in the ring and hits an RKO on Otunga, jumps back out of the ring, lets R-Truth cover him, John Cena turns around, does 1-2-3. So they really played it as John Cena was trying to be as honest and straightforward as he possibly could, calling the match, but stuff happened and, you know, he didn't see it and people got screwed and whatever. So, excuse me. So I'm guessing there's going to be something at the pay-per-view where, you know, someone's going to come in, John Cena knows better, like he knows that obviously someone has come in and interfered, but instead he's going to see Wade Barrett covering Randy Orton, so he'll go ahead and count for Wade, and then they can decide whether or not they are going to, depending on the reaction, whether or not they're going to have John Cena say, yeah, I saw it, and I screwed Randy Orton, and I'm a member of Nexus, or he can turn on Wade Barrett and say, you know, you used me as a tool, and I don't appreciate that, and get into a big fight, and whatever. So they're setting themselves up where they can go with it either way, kind of depending. They obviously hot-shotted this whole angle with Wade Barrett. He was supposed to win the title at the last pay-per-view. They decided at the last minute not to have him do that, because they're going to do this faster storyline, probably because they just kind of lost their nerve on this idea with John Cena. They didn't want to string him out for a long time. They're going to have to pick, you know, is he going to be face? Is he going to be heel? They're going to have to make a decision and run with it instead of leaving him in limbo for a long time. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I still think he's going to stay face. He's too, I think turning him heel here would be a mistake. You know, a lot of people thought it was a mistake when they turned Hogan heel. But for Hogan, he was pretty much past his prime anyway. He was at the point where he sold merchandise, but he sold merchandise not at the same level, obviously, when he was, you know, Hulkamania in, you know, 86, 87. Nowhere near that level. And at WCW, they needed to shake things up, and they just thought it was a good way to do it. And it really didn't make a difference at that point. And, of course, they hit on the NWO, which was their biggest, you know, storyline ever. So even though a lot of people draw comparisons between John Cena and Hulk Hogan and whether or not he's going to turn heel and with Hulk Hogan joining the New World Order, it really doesn't fit the same way here because John Cena still makes a lot of money for the company. He still sells a lot of merchandise. He is still very popular. He is, you know, even if at his prime he was not as big in the public eye as Hulk Hogan was, he is still at a level much higher now than where Hulk Hogan was when he turned heel. And I think it'd be a mistake to do it. But it's WWE, you never know. They'll decide to do it and change their mind three times before they actually pull the trigger one way or another. So hard to say, but I think it'd be a mistake. But that's something that they're gauging right now. So you can always, if you have a feeling one way or another, you know, send a letter to WWE. Let them know what you think. Also, stop by our forums, LockerRoomHQ.com, PopCultureNetwork.com. Stop by the wrestling forums. Give us your questions, comments. Feel free to leave a voicemail on our voicemail line. It's area code 217-953-4025. You never have to talk to a human being. You just leave a message after the beep. Also, don't forget, you can shoot me an email, dirt@popculturenetwork.com or dirt@dirtmound.com comicbooknews@popculturenetwork.com. That one comes directly to me as well. So anyway, you can get a hold of me, questions, comments, stop by the message board, become friends with other people, and thanks for listening, everybody.
My name is Sween Hollick, and if you're into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, have I got a column for you. Go over to popculturenetwork.com and take a look at Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, where each and every week we meander down memory lane as I review classic figures from the original Playmates Ninja Turtle toy line. Whether you're a longtime follower of the Fab Four or just getting into the Green Teens, I don't think you'll be disappointed. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you can only find it at PopCultureNetwork.com.
Check out www.LockerRoomHQ.com for the rest of our exciting podcasts about sports talk and pro wrestling. And don't forget the rest of www.PopCultureNetwork.com for everything else from toys to comic books and video games and everything else you love. It's www.PopCultureNetwork.com.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass. I host a show called Comic Nation TV, where the world of comic books and complete fandom collide. We have great reviews by Pop Culture Network's very own Dirt and Comics Corner's reviewer Ryan Porter, along with our newest member Juan Pineda, who hosts The Art of Comics. So if you guys love comics, hope you check out our show, only on The Pop.
And don't forget to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you buy helps to keep us on the air. That's www.PopCultureNetwork.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, whether you like it or not, this is Dirt, your host today for Wrestling Radio here in Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. And you can probably tell by the sound of my voice that I have a bit of a sore throat this morning. Went out last night, had a good time, had a lot of fun. We recorded an episode of Comaholics, and that will be up on ineedcomics.com, part of the Pop Culture Network, sometime in the next couple of days. You know, we recorded an hour and 15-minute podcast about the comics we were reviewing. And then we turned off the computer. We still had some more beer, and we sat there for another, oh gosh, 1, 2, 3.5 hours thereabouts. So my voice is going today, so this won't be a super long episode. But we do have a few things to talk about before we get into our recap of SmackDown. Among other things, there was a TNA pay-per-view last night, which, oh my gosh, this pay-per-view started out decent, actually got pretty good, and then just fell right into the toilet. One thing I will say, though, is that Team 3D, the Dudley Boys, had a tag team match with the Motor City Machine Guns, and it was fantastic. Team 3D is, you know, maybe it's because I have low expectations of Team 3D, but I usually have high expectations for the Motor City Machine Guns. But the four of them working together in this match wasn't really anything I was looking forward to, and they had a fine, fine match. In fact, that's one of those matches worth probably seeking out. You probably want to see that at some point. That was actually very good. But, you know, really, other than that, the opening match was okay. The women's match started out okay, but then had a lot of problems towards the end. The tag match was fine, but then everything else on the card was just terrible. Just awful. And I really don't want to get too much into it, because it's kind of depressing when you think about everything that TNA could have going for it, and instead they don't, because they just, I don't know, flush all their goodwill down the toilet. But that being said, Sabu is gone from TNA. His contract ran out. He was running around telling everybody last week how pissed off he was that he was getting released, because the booking team, creative, you know, just basically gave him that whole, well, we don't really have anything for you, so you're going to get fired, and we're going to let you go. See ya. And so he was really upset about that. He was having a good time there in TNA, but he is gone. As far as really other big news for WWE, I don't know that there is anything. Of course, Linda McMahon lost her Senate race, but it ended up being something like 53-46%, which really, if you think about it, someone with you know, how much charisma does Linda McMahon have, you know, honestly? And people say, well, she spent all of that money. She spent $50 million, you know, trying to get this Senate seat, didn't get the Senate seat. But she also didn't take any special interest money, basically, you could call it. So she would take donations from individuals. A normal person could make a donation to her cause, but a group, you know, Citizens for Change, or you know, a Labor Ready, or AFSCME, or you know, any type of group, any type of political action committee, she would not take their money. And so, you know, you could say, boy, she spent a whole lot of money, but when you're not taking corporate money, it does take a lot of money to run a campaign. So I think she did fairly good considering she got 46 to 53. I really didn't expect her to win. I don't think really a whole lot of people did. So not really that surprising. But she did lose, so I'm sure we're going to have some more goofy skits about senators. We're going to see a lot of corrupt politicians. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, in the next, I don't know, 3 months, we see some guy called up out of Florida. They put him in a suit, looks a lot like IRS, and they call him, you know, Senator Brown, and he's going to be the new character on Raw or something like that. I'm just, you know, I shudder to think that that's what'll happen, but I'm pretty sure that's what'll happen. All right, that's enough of the random stuff. Let's talk about Friday Night SmackDown. SmackDown was a pretty good show. This was actually one of those shows where everything on it was, well, just about everything on it was logical. It's set up for something else down the line, made sense. You know, you can argue that having the world championship on a guy like Kane and having Kane your top guy in the company is a mistake. And yeah, I could agree with you on that, but seeing as how that's what they've done, and that's where he is, and that's what they're working with, you know, they've put together some great stuff. And I have to say, SmackDown, this was, you know, just an all-around great show this week. So, show opened with Edge versus Alberto Del Rio, and had a nice little opening match, did a lot of fun stuff. They, you know, they really had a good back-and-forth match. You know, Del Rio is some guy they're shooting straight to the top, and, you know, letting him have this match with Edge, you know, really came across well. But before they could get to the point where either one was able to, you know, come across as more powerful than the other, suddenly they had the Nexus come running out. There was no John Cena or Wade Barrett. It was basically everybody else. And so David Otunga became a spokesperson. I'm almost wondering if this is going to lead to an angle where, because there is no Cena and because there is no Wade Barrett and Otunga is the guy talking, that on Raw we're going to find out that Wade Barrett had no idea that this was happening. And this was all Otunga's idea, leading into, you know, the fight between those two guys. But regardless, that is what happened. So Otunga grabs the mic, just basically talks, you know, the same random type of crap. He said, you know, they took over SmackDown before, so they're just back to kind of continue to show their dominance. And they had thrown Del Rio and Edge both out of the ring, and so they were standing there and saying, they're here to dominate because you're either Nexus or you're against us. You know, just basically set it up for someone to come running out of the back, and who should come out but the Big Show. And Big Show walks about, I don't know, quarter of the way, half the way down the ramp, and then he just kind of stops. And he's standing, staring at Nexus, and Rey Mysterio's music hits. And Rey Mysterio comes down, and he walks down, and he stands next to Big Show, and he stops. And then Kane's music hits. And then Kane just basically comes walking down and just ignores the other two guys, just plows headfirst into the ring. And so you have Big Show, Rey Mysterio, and Kane beating up on the Nexus guys. Edge and Del Rio both jump in the ring and help take out the Nexus guys. And they basically dump all the Nexus out, and they go to a commercial, come back, and Teddy Long lets everybody know that tonight it will be a big tag match. It will be Nexus versus Kane, Del Rio, Big Show, Edge, and Rey Mysterio. So that's your main event. So they, you know, basically opened up with a decent match, Edge versus Del Rio. They decided to hold off. You know, they didn't want to, I mean, that's a big match. You know, think about it. Those are two big guys. They could have a pay-per-view feud down the road. And so having them, you know, just basically give away a match right now doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. So having them kind of hold off on it, I'm fine with that, even though I usually hate these kind of schmoz-type endings on matches. That was okay. Let's see here. They had Dolph Ziggler. He, you know, they showed some footage from NXT where he was kind of getting a little something-something with Caitlyn, and Vicky was getting upset. They had a fun little match with Dolph Ziggler and JTG. It wasn't anything too great. You know, JTG, I don't know, he just kind of lost something in the last year. But Dolph Ziggler, he hit him with the zigzag. And then lifted his shoulder up on the count so that he could put him into the sleeper and get the sleeper submission that way. So Dolph Ziggler, you know, just kind of showing off, you know, his ability. They had Caitlyn and Vicky down both at ringside, and Vicky was basically trying to hold Caitlyn back. And Dolph was, you know, trying to keep Caitlyn away, just kind of like, you know, you got to keep this on the down low, you know, whatever. And so Vicky and Caitlyn just started brawling, had a cat fight, and Ziggler was trying to work with the referee to tear him apart. We go to the back, and Hornswoggle is there with Teddy Long, and Vicky comes running in and says that she wants an actual match with Caitlyn tonight. And so Teddy Long was like, all right, fine, whatever. And Vicky looked like, all right, I'm getting what I wanted. Which doesn't make any sense at all, because Vicky can't wrestle and Caitlyn is on NXT. But whatever. They cut now to Nexus, and Nexus is in the back beating up Rey Mysterio. You don't get to see them actually attack Rey Mysterio, but you see, you know, Rey Mysterio laid out and them kind of taking off. So you see that he has been beaten up. So, let's see, we got MVP versus Cody Rhodes versus Drew McIntyre in a triple threat for the number one contendership to the Intercontinental title. Well, of course, they just split up Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre, so those two guys were kind of battling it out back and forth. MVP gets in the middle, and they both decide they need to work together to get rid of MVP. So they beat up on MVP for a long time. They end up turning on each other, and MVP is able to throw Cody Rhodes out of the ring, hits the boot on Drew McIntyre, and gets the pin. So MVP ends up getting the Intercontinental title shot, so, you know, hopefully they do something with, you know, MVP. I think he's a wasted talent. Wasted. Not a waste of, but, well, I mean, kind of, I guess you could make that argument as well, but, I mean, he has talent. And he's very good at what he does. And he just hasn't been given very many opportunities. Dolph Ziggler has shown that he can have some really good matches, although they were matches with Daniel Bryan. So maybe Daniel Bryan had something to do with it more than Dolph Ziggler. But I think Dolph Ziggler really shined in those. And they're going to have MVP versus Dolph Ziggler. And I think they're going to, you know, really have a chance to you know, put together some great matches. So I'm looking forward to what happens with those guys. We had Vicky versus Caitlyn. And this was just the Caitlyn stomps on Vicky, and Vicky acts like she's going to throw up, and she kind of cowers in the corner, and Caitlyn beats her up, and you know, Caitlyn is trying to stomp on her, and Vicky grabs her foot and kind of flips her over and folds her in half, pins her, and tries to get her feet up on the ropes, but just can't quite pull it off. But the referee counts, and Vicky wins by pinfall. And this was just, this was terrible. This was terrible. And then that was it. That was it. She didn't, like, fire Caitlyn. She didn't, you know, say that someone else is going to be, you know, her new trainer or whatever. It's just like, that was it. They just had this really terrible match. So that was the one really kind of terrible part on the show. We had MVP in the back talking to Caval, and Nexus just kind of jumped on him, overpowered him, beat the crap out of him, stomped him, and then just left. Just left him laying there. So those guys not involved in the main event match like Rey Mysterio earlier, but just kind of going along with that idea of them just kind of roaming around, taking people out because they are the Nexus. We had Chris Masters versus Tyler Rex. They had just a fine little match. Chris Masters didn't really get to do a whole lot, but Tyler Rex got to show off, and you know, he came across as a star in this match. I mean, Tyler Rex, for somebody that nobody cared about, nobody knew who he was a couple months ago, you know, they actually allowed him to look like a big deal in this match, which is what he needs if they're going to keep doing stuff with him. I just kind of wish they had done it a little bit more before the last pay-per-view, but what are you going to do? And then finally, our main event of the night, Nexus versus Edge. Kofi Kingston they had in place of Rey Mysterio. Alberto Del Rio, Big Show, and Kane. Now, some people are wondering, why would they take out Rey Mysterio? Why would they have Kofi Kingston in there instead? Well, Rey Mysterio still has that inner ear infection, and so he's not supposed to take any big bumps. That's why also earlier when they beat him up, you didn't really see them beat him up. You just saw him laid out and them walking away, and you could tell that they had beat him up. So that's the deal with Rey Mysterio. So anyway, they basically had Kofi Kingston do a really good job of you know, just showing that he deserved to be in there and taking out a bunch of Nexus guys. They had Big Show at one point hit the ropes, and Alberto Del Rio was standing on the apron and got slingshotted off to the outside, and so he got pissed, and Del Rio just left in the middle of the match. So even though it's one of those things, I always hate when they make these random teams where you have faces and heels, and they have to work together on a team, because why would the heel do that? And they've done a good job with Del Rio where, you know, even though he had to work with Rey Mysterio in the last pay-per-view and working up to it, he would still attack him. He would still get in the cheap shots if he could. And here, supposed to be working with these guys, but he doesn't care. He just, you know, whatever, so he just leaves. And I was fine with that. But eventually they got the hot tag to Kane. Kane got in, went wild, was going for the choke slam. And Big Show, like, cleared everybody out of the ring, but Kane, you know, didn't like being overshadowed here, so he grabbed Big Show, hit him with the choke slam, then grabbed Otunga, and was going to choke slam him, but Edge did a blind tag, got himself in, and Kane had this look, you know, looking at Edge like, oh, he was so pissed off about this. So Kane tries to grab Edge to do the choke slam, but Edge reverses, gets out, hits him with the spear, knocks him out, then turns on Otunga, hits him with the spear, and gets the pin. So your team there, Edge, Kane, Kofi Kingston, Big Show, Alberto Del Rio, they get the win. But they you know, peppered all this other stuff in there. Del Rio got pissed and left. Big Show and Kane had a confrontation. Edge and Kane, who are going to be the you know, the go-to match here at the next pay-per-view, you know, Edge going for Kane's title, those two guys, and if their feud lasts or whatever, they at least had that stuff peppered in there between those guys. So they had enough stuff in there that even though I kind of hate these big group matches, and they've done so many of them lately, they worked storyline stuff into it. And so, therefore, I was a lot happier with it. You know, I thought it came across really well on TV. It was a fun match, and it just topped off. You know, like I said, it was a good show all the way around. So, all right, guys, my voice is just dying here. My throat feels like sandpaper in the desert with a hot wind, fresh out of a microwave, covered in broken glass. I don't even know how to explain it. So I'm going to wrap it up for now. I want to thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to check out tomorrow. We will have the Wrestling Radio taking a look at tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. Also, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to stop by our message board at lockerroomhq.com. Find the wrestling forum, or you can call our voicemail line 217-953-4025, or you can send me an email dirt@popculturenetwork.com. Again, thanks for listening, everybody, and I'll talk to you next time. Da 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 da, it's the one and only Deco Double G. Da 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 da, you know what I'm mobbing with it. Top dog by the mall, yeah, I'm burning it up. DPGC, you should be turning it up. CBT, LBC, yeah, we cooking back up. And when they bang this in the club, baby, you got to get up. Cause homies, little homies, yeah, they giving it up. Whole lot, yo lot, what we living it up. Taking chances while we dancing in the party for sure. Slip my girl a 44 when she crept in the back door. Yeah.